Welcome back to Big Boy Brunch. This is a special episode. You know, we love talking about the superhero stuff, the boom pow and the capes and the da 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 da. But today, we gonna get into a different set of Avengers. This set is of all four varying diverse Black women who are out here, you know, making amazing things in the world. We're talking about Insecure. And we brought a huge fan of the show, as well as, you know, queer sister to both of us. She finished the finale and she was like, yo, let me in the booth to talk about it. I was like, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Because with this show about Black friendships, these two people, I wouldn't want to talk about it with like more than, you know, with Dre. And returning to the show, Miss Atari Gems. How you doing?
Hello.
How you doing, my dear?
Avoiding Omarion. And yes. I hope there's no more B2K members.
Oh God.
Raz, stay away up from next.
Us. Oh God, no.
No.
Oh, you know, like actually, you know, Jay Boogs sounds like a fucking COVID variant.
It does. He does.
Actually, yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. And then we got ended out with Lil Fizz. Hopefully we get to like a little fizzle out, you know, we just, but
help us God,
help. But moving on, so this finale, I like the way that they did it. It was told in it was captured in birthdays, because you know, as friends get older, pretty much like the only time that we have time to spend with long-term friends, you know, because of work and relationships and all that stuff, is at birthdays. So we get Molly's birthday, Issa's birthday, Lawrence's birthday, you know, like Kelly, yeah.
Everybody's.
Yeah. Kelly, you know, like, yeah, everyone, yeah, we catch up through birthdays, and, you know, it's a smart way to do a time skip to see where everyone's at, because that usually how it be when, you know, you have a really close group of friends, but, you know, we all spread out, and, you know, because in time be moving, like, just moving, and, you know, so Atari, let me give you the mic first. What were your thoughts? What really spoke to you about, you know, this finale?
So I like that everybody's storyline got resolved in some manner, and it always kind of addressed, you know, the issues that everybody kind of faced. Issa, her kind of professional goals. Season one, she was at a job she didn't like. That got resolved with her entrepreneurial endeavors. Mm-hmm. Molly, her issues was feeling inadequate. Like, even though she was very professional and had all these accolades, she was scared that she wasn't ever gonna find someone. Even in the first season, you know, she mentioned like, damn, everybody has their own person but me. And then obviously that got resolved. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, even though they didn't expound upon it as much, her issue was like being vulnerable, because she, throughout the series, she was very much, she had to feel like she had her shit together. And then, you know, towards the end, she got it, you know, she's more in a space where she can feel like she can rely on her friends, be open. She doesn't have to be a perfect mom, wife, that sort of thing. And letting her friends be. Kelly, I hate saying this because I feel like they did Kelly so wrong.
No, be tell us how you feel.
Kelly, you know, just to go to tie back into the birthday issues, like I feel like Kelly, throughout the series, she was just kind of pigeonholed as like the comic relief. So I feel like, I think they were kind of struggling to tie the little that we, the audience knew about Kelly. So it's like Kelly, from my understanding, kind of had her shit together and was seemingly confident and things of that nature. But one thing that they did do, they gave her a partner and a baby, but I still felt like it was just kind of like, we just gonna give her a partner and a baby. I mean, they did try to do the deaf kind of thing where, you know, everybody just kind of put her to the side. And yeah, I don't know if that was just like direct. Yeah.
Yeah, because Kelly, you know, because everyone, you know, all four of the women are, you know, trying to, you know, get their lives together. And Kelly seems to be the most balanced out of all of them, but you know, she just likes being, but what people focus on the most is that, you know, she likes being a little ratchet, and I think because she has a professional life together, she can do that. And it's just like, you know, but even though, you know, she is able to balance out her life, you know, like the professionalism with, you know, just living a life, you know, being, you know, you know, being free as like a, you know, Black woman doing whatever the hell she wants to outside of work hours, like, you know, she still deserves, you know, the attention, you know, from her friends and, you know, from the audience. Like, you know, I that humor, you know, that attitude, you know, that the spirit that she brings to the group, it doesn't come out of nowhere. So I, you know, it's really unfortunate that we didn't get to peek more into Kelly's mind. You know, she's much more of a supporting character. So, Dre, thoughts on the Insecure finale?
The whole concept of, like, you know, the true love story being Issa and Molly. Love that part. You know what I mean? I think it was really, really refreshing to see, like, two dark-skinned Black women push to the front and, like, their relationships and their, like, struggles and triumphs and everything, and them just being human pushed to the forefront. It's like, yeah, like, we're focusing on these two dark-skinned Black women, and they're gonna be like, this is what we're talking about. I do agree with, like, the Kelly part. Like, it was just, it's difficult because I'm like, everybody else in the series, the other three women, Tiffany, Issa, and Molly, seem to, like, have, like, a whole bunch of struggles. And to Atari's point, like, and Lorenzo's point, it seems like Kelly had everything together. And it's like, only until the end, when, like, she, you know, when, you know, they had the death part, and then, you know, she started, like, you know, going through her spiritual journey, did, like, a crack appear. It's like, oh, Kelly, actually, there's a lot more to Kelly that we didn't realize. And, you know, behind that whole mask, it's like, oh, girl, actually, there's, like, some deep insecurities and these, like, these other things that she thought she didn't, she thought was together, actually wasn't. She was like, oh, my God, like, I had to think, rethink everything and da-da-da. It was, I was conflicted about Kelly ending up pregnant, because, like, on one hand, it's beautiful that, you know, that's what that character wanted for her life, and she pursued it. But also, like, somebody had brought up on Twitter that you know, it would be nice to see, you know, Black women who choose to be childless have that to be a continuing timeline. It's not something that they change their mind based on someone else coming into their life.
Yes. You know?
So.
And that was.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dre.
Oh, yeah. I was just that. Like, it was just. It was just a lot. Like, we grew a lot with, like, Issa and Molly and Tiffany.
Yeah.
And I love that. Once again, like I said, you know, having dark-skinned Black women being the focus of a show. Love it. But also, like, a plus size, you know, bigger Black woman you know, being like the side character, comic relief, and then yeah. like her being kind of constant throughout the show. And then just in the last season, a crack forming, and you're like, oh, bitch, wait, there's a lot more that I want to learn. And you can't because the season, yeah. the series is yeah. done.
And they put a baby in front of the crack. So,
yeah. yeah. And we didn't get to see the baby, but you yeah. know, whatever.
And but it
yeah,
was like,
yeah.
throughout, because I rewatched Insecure throughout this season and then got back. Like, I just to rewatch it because I've always watched it. And mm-hmm. so, one thing I noticed going to season four, like when they did the Coachella type of thing, like, I remember the latter part of that episode, you know, after they got kicked out of the shit, Kelly was like the one who had to kind of piece everybody kind of together, like, come on, get it together, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know if that, you know, if that was part of her character that, you know, maybe editing, they took it out for some reason. Maybe they didn't want to make her the stronger character. But from, mm-hmm. you know, if you didn't know that much about Insecure, if you didn't look at it in depth, she would have been positioned as that anyways, just because she is the heavier set one of the crew. So mm-hmm. it's like, I couldn't tell if they were like, maybe they heard the criticisms in the earlier episodes, because I did like Kelly's character. I like that she was desirable and she was yeah. professional, but it just felt very surface level yeah. to me. And I wish, you know, in the earlier seasons, they could have maybe fleshed her out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I would have much preferred that Kelly was just like, all right, you know, I got this nigga. Like, oh, y'all gonna know? Like, like she. Just something slick, like, yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna have his kids and then I'm gonna push them right out. Ah! And then just or, like some Barry Kelly, just like, and you know, like he shoots up the club, I'm gonna bust back, you know, like that sounds more, that sounds like more Kelly than just like, all right, nigga, like, you know, just like, all right.
Or at least introduce the MF for like in season four. So it's like he's not no random guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the crazy thing, that actor is in, side note, that actor is in one of Issa's web series that she produced mm-hmm. called Giant. So I
love happy, that show.
I was I happy to show. See him. I was like, yes.
Yep.
what I'm trying to think. How did it feel to finally see Issa, like, finally achieve her dream? Because it just felt, for like so many seasons, it felt like she was almost there, almost getting there, and then something would happen, either like in a relationship or she would just mess up, you know, professionally, and she would just kind of, you know, get knocked back a couple steps. Like, how did it feel for y'all to finally see her, you know, have a realized version of, you know, what she wants to do with her life? I'll start with Atari.
Oh shit, I'm on the spot. Honestly, I felt like that storyline, I thought it was realistic. I didn't think that it was like self-insertive of Issa Rae to, you know, have that kind of storyline pan out like that. I felt that, because I'm assuming just off the math, from the series beginning to now, that was probably like 5 years, maybe in the show, maybe a little bit more, I could be off. But I liked it. I liked that, you know, she was on the entrepreneurial ship, and I felt that, you know, with the stuff that we saw earlier this season with Prince Sean and then the white owned company, what is it called? Like MPA or something.
Something like that.
I didn't think it was unrealistic. I like that Koya was there, because that's usually what happens. It's usually like, if there is somebody, an entrepreneur, and I see it all the time here in Richmond, they usually have like someone young following them or shadowing them. So I didn't think that was unrealistic. And I'm actually happy that they showed it, because I don't really think they show Black female entrepreneurs. Like, I think there's a lot of representation of like Black female like entertainers in like fictional shows. If they're making money, it's either they have like a white collar job, they're some type of, I hate saying, I'm not like downplaying like some type of sex worker or in some type of like entertainer or something. So it was nice to see her kind of be like in the creative field talking about social media. I was really happy throughout, you know.
Yeah, but more on the, yeah, so more on like the administrative side of the creative, you know.
Yes, she wasn't like an artist. It was nice for her to be kind of in control. So I'm glad that they brought that up because there are, you know, the boss chicks or whatever.
Yeah, because there's a, you know, it's not just like, oh, like this artist has a dream and then they sign to label. There's actually, you know, they have to go to events and you do like appearances and, you know, sell merch because, you know, y'all know, like, I don't know if y'all are on Twitter, like T-Pain like posted this chart. I think it was like by Napster, like this chart showing like how many streams that an artist has to get for like to make $1 off a song. And girl, like it was varying from like the lowest was like 54 like to 1,000. So like a lot of these artists, like they get, the way they get paid is like these events, and these events, like they're not a lot of them aren't organizing them themselves. Like it's like people like Issa who are, you know, like helping them, you know, get exposure and all that stuff. So it was nice, you know, following the story of somebody like this. It really like put a face and like a, you know, real you know, story to these, you know, these type of people, because like they're integral, you know, when it comes to like communities behind all these artists. Like, you know, she's, you know, people like Issa are, you know, managers like Issa, you know, CEOs, bosses like Issa, like they're out here, they exist, and you know, they are important too. So yeah.
And my final note, I'm glad she's kept it still being in Inglewood. And I mean, throughout the show they talked about Inglewood and the gentrification, but you know, even though she was climbing that kind of entrepreneurial ladder, if there is even a ladder, you can't really track the trajectory of like creatives and stuff like that. I did like that she did have a space still in Inglewood, assumedly probably still by like the dunes and stuff. So that was really cool.
I love that she drove by like We Got You, and her white coworker was still there with like
Frida
with the Sinead O'Connor haircut. That shit took me out.
But that's how they look, though.
No, for real. I think it was like after Issa left, she was like, wow, I really did like Issa, even though I pretty much kind of threw her under the bus several times. Like, I missed her and it really affected me. So, like, I just had to, like, make a change in my life. And, God, no, but it was funny. What else? Well, obviously the relationships. I guess we can. No. We gonna save it from later. Let's focus on like Molly's, like, you know, family when it comes to like relationships, like romantic and familial. Wow, Molly finally settling down with Torian. Side note, Torian, I forget the actor's name, forgive me, but yo, the fact that the first time I saw him was back in, I want to say 2005, because he used to be a regular player on Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out. I don't know if you remember.
Are you fucking serious?
Look, Google him right now. Like, go like Torian, I kid you not, he was on Wildin' Out. And like, that's where I remember him from. And I would see him in different commercials, but that was I would always see him on Wildin' Out. And so when I saw him show up here, I was like, yes, like that's so cool. So the fact that he's finally, like, let me know when you find it. Cause I like, without even look, I'm like, oh my God, that's a nigga from Wildin' Out. Like, I was just really, really like excited. The fact that
Leonard Robinson.
I know for a fact that he used to be on Wildin' Out, like back the original cat. You see it, right? You see him, right? He was in the original cast, and now he's on like HBO. So you know, he's been doing this for quite some time, and I really do appreciate it. You know, we like to talk about all like the '90s, you know, like the black famous people, you know, from like the '90s and all that stuff, you know, the macades and the, you know, but let's give it up for the ones who got their start in the early 2000s and who are now doing their stuff now, you know, cause you know, I really do appreciate that. But Molly finally being happy with Taurean, also like the fact that I was still invested in this relationship in all these relationships, as heterosexual as they are, because girl, the way they did not like each other at the beginning of this, the way they was at each other's throats, and now they're at each other's tongues. It was the growth.
I want to say this. First of all, go ahead. Let's stay on Molly for a little while. But
yeah,
I do want to please like
Issa can come.
Yeah, later. Yeah, of course.
But we don't push this, her to later. Go ahead.
This whole one thing that I was gonna mention, like the whole trope of like straight people hating each other, and all of a sudden like getting together. I'm like, girl.
Hey, boo.
God. I mean, but one thing I will say is that this one was done nicely, because like it was the very beginning that they really, really couldn't stand each other, and then it gently faded off. Like just very gently. Like, because in a lot of shows it'll be like they hate each other, right? Like literally fighting each other, and then in a split moment they're fucking. Literally in a split moment.
Yeah.
So for this to gently, like, you know, turn into something else, that's cool. But one thing I will say about Insecure when it comes to Molly's character, I want to say I have never experienced a character where my opinion has changed.
Yeah.
So much. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because like Molly in the beginning was she deserves nothing. To Molly in the last season, she deserves everything.
She deserves.
I mean, like, let me tell you, I could not stand Molly in the beginning, and then as she grew throughout the seasons, I started to like her, and I'm like, girl, you know what? Maybe this might be okay. Yeah. And then like she dipped, and then like the last season, she like got another arc, and I loved that. Molly's growth to me has like, for the show, is the most realistic.
Yeah.
Most realistic.
Yeah.
The
fact, storyline. Yeah. The fact that they didn't. That. Yeah. The fact that a lot of sitcoms in the past, like, you know, dramedies in the past, like, characters kind of have, they never really change who they are, like personality wise, for the sake of like the ongoing dynamic, because people are used to a certain dynamic. But the fact that Molly was able to change and it still be, you know, like still be a very entertaining, you know, very funny show.
Exactly. I think,
you know, it really, really shows the growth. So
kind of like, you know, if you think about Tony from Girlfriends,
Tony Chow,
you know, like you think about that, it's like Tony was pretty much a dickhead the entire show.
The entire show!
Until she left.
The fact that she made me almost feel bad for that short little broke-ass white man. Almost. Almost.
I actually have not seen Girlfriends. Do not kill me or take my black card.
Oh, no. It's I literally just watched it. I just watched the whole series last year.
He's recent, so it's okay.
Last year. I watched the whole series like last year. So I didn't grow up with it. Yeah.
When you get a chance, though, it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, so, I remember my mom watching it back in the day, but it was like before my time. But I'll probably give it a chance. In terms of Molly, like, I was just I was fucking proud. I was proud because of the therapy thing. I mean, which was introduced through, you know, the fucking show. But just even the beginning of like season 5, where she was like, you know, the fact they gave her natural hair and it was like a fade, I was like, yes, thank you. Because, and I hate saying this, and this might be problematic, but like, I'm tired of seeing representations of natural hair in the media where it's big and shit. Like, okay, can we get a fade? Can we have a TWA?
Not problematic. No.
Yeah, can somebody just be buff? Can somebody have locks?
Yeah, because they always like to show black women with natural hair is like loose curls, and it's like it's not realistic.
Yeah, it's either loose curls or in our kind of people, which got canceled, the character's hair was big as fuck. Like it was already healthy and big, it's like, okay. So, yeah. You know, even Molly's appearance where, you know, she had the bone straight weave from like season one to now she had, season five, she had the fade. She was feeling herself. She wasn't totally in control. Like even the shit with her family, which they sprinkled throughout the season, like you could tell, you know, my grandma always used to say like this word called asterperius, like kind of like, oh, they're sedity, they think you're better. And like, that's how my introduction to like Molly was. It's like, okay, here we go. We got another dark skinned, like professional Black woman that, you know, she's degreed up. So she thinks she everybody. And they literally flipped it and was just like, okay, she's healed. You know, she's making professional lanes. And even if they, you know, didn't give her Taurean as like a consultation prize, because, you know, that's what they do in TV, but I'm not going to go into that tangent. I would still been okay with her character just living her best life as a lawyer and happy and like loving herself, because Molly got in her own way so many times throughout the series. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. And then, you know, I just loved Molly's character and Molly's relationships being so realistic. Like a lot of times in TV shows, they'll try to like, you know, bring back a past love or a past fling to be something, you know, more. And like, even though a lot of us really were fucking with the relationship she had with Asian Bae, they left that shit alone. It was like, realistically, sometimes you can have a really good relationship, you will fuck it up and you cannot get it back. And that's just what happens sometimes, you know?
And so fuck like, his brother. I love that. Like fuck that boy's brother. He was a piece of shit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Like, yeah, I was 100%. Like, even if she wasn't like all, you know, even if she had her shit together, like just like the constant microaggressions from that dude.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
I was like,
Yeah. And like speaking more like about it being realistic, like again with Molly's progression, healing not being linear. You know, it was just like she was, you know, terrible and she got a little better, then she sunk back down and she got a little better, then she sunk again. And then toward the end, she like found her stride and she was walking lovely. One thing I want to speak about is like, because that was the whole thing on Twitter, was when when Dro came to the party and Molly was there with Taurean, and people were talking about how, you know, how mature Taurean was because of Molly, you know, saying that. He was like, okay, cool. And I was like, you know, there's like, and I said this on Twitter, I was like, look, there's a difference between somebody being very forthright with who someone is and then other people like kind of being like a little secretive, and then you find out later on that, hey, this person was a little more to you than you actually said it was. So I love the fact that Molly was like straightforward, like just like, oh yeah, but also the fact that she didn't really have any ties to him. Because a lot of times we'll have like characters meet up with somebody like a past fling or something, and then like they'd be like, oh, these feelings are still there. No, Molly was just like, oh yeah, we fucked.
Or you know, I gave him one of my kidneys.
And then that was done. Yeah. Molly was like, yeah, we fucked. And look, yeah, don't that's ask pretty me much for it. One. Yeah. Girl. And I love the fact that like she just had no residual feelings to him. She was like, I'm moving forward. Like I want to move forward. And that's it. So that was a refreshing moment to see. And like she wasn't like trying to keep nothing from him, and she wasn't trying to like, you know, make it less than, she was standing in her truth of what happened. And that's one thing I really like. To see a Black woman just be like, I'm not really worried about, I mean, yeah, she was worried because she was like, oh, she was worried about Taurean possibly getting tired of her. That was one thing. But she was not concerned about someone seeing her as whatever, you know, slut-shamey, whatever it might be. She was just like, yeah, that's who he is. And she was okay with it. And that's whatever the fuck it was. I love that.
Mm. Yeah, and the fact that Dro was so shocked that she was so honest about it in public.
Yeah.
Like my man looked like he saw Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes, his monster ass. Like, oh shit. Like it was. Yeah, I really did appreciate the whole thing. And then she was like, all right, like, yeah. So here is, you know, X light skin dick, and we're moving on. I was like, all
moving
right.
on. All right,
love
cool.
it. Love it.
The ex toxic nigga.
The fact, divorced, like shit. I was like, it just, oh wow, damn. Okay. Like, yeah. It just very much.
She's talking about himself.
Oh Lord.
Oh God.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I really hope any perspectives like weren't like within earshot. Or actually, I hope they were, so the girls can know like what they about to get into if they, you know, because tall and tall and NBA esque, you know, the visual.
Yeah.
Well.
With the deep voice and the loose curls.
I'm bring Dro back. To be honest, I'm surprised they even brought him back.
You know, yeah, I knew he was a goofy nigga, but like when he said, "Hey, but eat your fries," you know, it kind of did something for me.
You know, he got the actor side note. The actor has a baby with the actress who plays Tasha. And yes. That shit blew me.
I was like, ain't no fucking way, boy.
The baby like 4 now.
Yeah. And like, didn't they get into like issues? Like they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wow, art is imitating life. Look at that.
That is.
Or life,
so
whatever.
Funny. Oh my God.
That's crazy. Yeah. Shout out to Molly.
Shout out to Molly. And though, yeah, and you know, Molly on, speaking of Molly, you know, like her taking drugs in public.
Yo, the poor staff. They're probably like, what? Did the raccoons get it?
Not the raccoons, but you know, different kind.
No!
I'm playing. They not.
Oh God.
It was funny, but it was just like in the year of our Lord COVID, just like them just like going into the snack room and just like grabbing everything and shoving it in their mouth.
But can I also say that specifically, like, I'm glad they didn't tackle COVID, bitch. Yes. Because my God,
we needed
a simple break, and they gave it to us. Oh my God.
But also, yes. Like, good, like, listen, Molly and Torian's like fiber regimen must be on point. Because you wouldn't have caught me and a date, you know, stuffing our faces and then immediately going to Pound Town. No. Absolutely not. And on that note, we're going to take a break because the whole Issa Lawrence situation just needs its own.
Don't.
Oh, Jesus.
Segment. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will discuss...
Negro Sigh and Union.
Deep.
All right, and we are back with part 2 of our Insecure review finale recap extravaganza. Final countdown to the house down boots chalet miss thing girl baby doll sugar. Yes. So
yes, queen.
So Issa's love triangle quickly. So at the beginning of this episode, Nathan is just like, nigga, shut up. Nathan is done because, like, you know, he saw his queen just talking to her old flame, you know, the man that had the audacity to come for his town's barbecue skills.
Coconut head ass.
And he was like, after, he was like, you know what? I can't do this. This is not healthy for me. And it's time for me to step back. And, you know, Issa did try to be like, let's sit and just talk about this. But he was like, very, like, he sounded like a nigga, very much sounded like a Twitter nigga breaking up on Twitter. It's like, this shit's too toxic, man. I can't do this. I was like, I know he did not say the word toxic. God damn it.
But in his defense,
no, go
he
ahead.
Did no, but in his defense, he did take accountability for, you know, acknowledging his uncomfortability, because last episode before this finale, I was like, what is this here? What's going on? Why?
He should have addressed the front, like, hey, he's like, Issa. Your ex made fun of my town's barbecue. Come get him.
When it comes to Nathan, it really seems like, and like, this is something that I've recently been like, you know what? I think so. It really seemed like to me, yes, it was toxic, but Nathan also was like, low key, I know these niggas gonna find a way back to each other. So let me just step out the way, because they are clearly not over each other, and they clearly want to be with each other. So the longer I stretch this out, the more hurt I'm gonna be later on. So
because let me step out of the way before they tear me apart to get back to you.
Yes,
and that's not it. A good feeling to be between some unfinished business.
Oh God, no. Mm. Oh God, yeah. No.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yes, dark skin love prevailed. Because even before she like officially got back to Lawrence, like she like but part of my prediction like came true. Did y'all see my prediction? Okay, so part of my prediction for the finale was that Nathan and Lawrence would get over their differences, become a gem fusion. And so Issa could date the both of them at the same time. She would date them for about 3 years or so and then break up with them and then end up with Cho from Selling Tampa. And then she would live happily ever after. And part of my prediction, y'all know who Cho is from Selling Tampa?
No. I've watched the series. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The beautiful dark-skinned African ass nigga. With the money and the muscles. Well, you know, she dated a Cho type, you know, before she got back with Lawrence. And yeah, like,
are you talking about young man with the Bajan? Are you talking about the young man, the one she dated? Are you talking about the young man with the Bajan hairline?
Yeah.
You talking about Daniel?
No. Like she got with somebody for a little short time before Lawrence.
The one she bore to Kelly's dinner.
Oh, you talking about, he reminded me of Lloyd. I know that's problematic.
No,
but he reminded me of Lloyd.
Yeah.
With the dark skin with like the loose
he
hair
was
texture.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
But when it comes down to it, what I said was that he looked like a rough draft of Lawrence. To me, he just looked like, which isn't saying that he looked
rough.
You mean
a finished product?
No, not even that. Not even that. He looked like a first draft of Lawrence. Remember, here's my thing.
He looked like a simp.
He did. No. He looked like a dark skinned Rick Fox.
Stop.
The only reason you said stop is because you see it.
And so when I saw him, I was like, "Oh, girl. So this is a placeholder for Lawrence. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Got it. I was like, they're gonna find their way back to each other." Just thinking about their relationship throughout the series, I'm like, my motherfucking God. This shit is wild to witness. Like, from the beginning, where, you know, they were together and Issa cheated, and then he was like, oh, you know, like, da-da-da, and he left, and he started, like, you know, being hypersexual because he was so sad and shit, and you know, he was like fucking everything and still thinking about Issa, and like I was like, this is getting STDs, because he was just wild, because he just like didn't care about anything. He was just like, girl, I don't care, like, and he just, it was just wild to see Lawrence like
not getting STDs.
He did. Chlamydia in season three, and I know.
Yeah. But I'm just like, the way straight men be coping with like their sadness, I'd be like, come on, girl, just, oh God, can we do better? Well, it's not we, because I'm not part of that delegation, but it would be nice to see niggas like not go straight there when they're fucking sad about something that they had a part in. But like, that nigga forgot Issa's birthday. Like,
right. It's like, and I haven't like tweeted about it, but like someone was talking about it on Twitter, where it's like the baseline for Lawrence wasn't held. The only thing Lawrence really had going for him is like, he was just tall, he was brown, he's a nice guy. He had a job, but he was just very mediocre.
He didn't smoke black and miles.
Yeah, he was just very mediocre. Like, he was just like, if you were to put him in a different community, it's like, okay, he just average. But because he is black, he gets, oh my God, like, they kind of touched on it in the show, but it was just like the whole fucking baseline was in hell.
Very baseline. You know, he only told his baby mother to shut up to her face just once. Ooh, so, you know, like, yes, he only did it one time.
You blew my life up, like,
yeah,
bro,
yeah, he, like, yeah, like he only blamed her for all of his shortcomings once that we saw. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, because like looking back on the series and like looking it through the lens of Lawrence was either trying to get Issa back or trying to forget about Issa, literally all of his actions were based on one of those two things. It makes more sense how he was so fucking erratic and chaotic, because that nigga was just, he wasn't saying shit with his chest. The only time he says shit with his chest was that penultimate episode when he was like, oh, I just didn't want to think that I didn't fight for you. I was like, nigga,
bro,
how many years?
Had four seasons. And the crazy thing is, which people keep forgetting, like Lisa, that first episode of Insecure, she was 29. They met mm-hmm. when she was in college. So she had already been with that nigga for assumedly maybe 4 or 5 years already. Mm-hmm. And then all this bullshit for the series.
Yeah.
Now she's 34 with like a stepchild and a guy that is sometime me. What mm-hmm. the fuck happened to Woo Woo? Like, he was just there. Lawrence was just cute and vaguely brown. And everybody's like, yep, that's her soulmate, because that's what black women want. No offense. And honestly, and maybe this, I was team like, if, yo, it's probably not going to happen. But I was like, if Issa came up in the shit and was just like, she going to be by herself, and maybe they introduce a new nigga in the finale. But as soon as I saw like that last episode, I said, oh, look at this shit here. Look at this shit here.
To be honest,
Lawrence and Nathan, they're not prizes. They were both very mediocre. And Lawrence was mediocre in like the lame, you know, he was just the baseline of a good guy, you know, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. And Nathan was just like in the infant, like yes, he had like bipolar and stuff, but he was not ready for no woman with all that baggage. And I don't know how to like articulate it better than
no,
that.
No, like, yeah, just... like, having a mental illness, like it doesn't mean that you let that shit like get in the way. Like it is not your partner's, it is not their job to burden like to burn themselves with like your mental shit. Like, come, like, granted, like they can console you in certain times, like when you need it, obviously, but like the fact that you're not even at a point where, you know, you can, you know, stand in the same room as her ex and not like start a fucking fight. Like, right. Nah. Like your shit, you're like, you know, and like he still has some unresolved shit with like his brother, cousin.
Yeah, sister and brother. Yeah. And even the barbershop thing with the that whole thing, it's like, bro, like Nathan wasn't ready for Issa. Realistically, he was not ready for her. And then, you know, and then I could go on.
And to be honest, I was team vibrator. I was team clit egg. I was team magic wand, you know, with the extendo, with like the 4, 5, 7, you know, modes, like,
right,
you know, with the MP3 with like the MP3 drive, and you can like add, you know, whatever nigga's voice you can, so you can have like Idris Elba, you know, from Luther, you know, talking to you, like, you know, girl, like anything until you are ready. Until a nigga is ready for you. So
the thing about it is that, like, you know, the only way, which I'm glad Issa did, the only way for it to make sense for them to end up in the finale together, like in the last scene together, was the fact that they were not together for years. You know what I mean? So for the fact that they weren't together for years and did their own individual growth and found a way back to each other, that's the only way, because when it comes down to it, Lawrence was deep into his own shit. Issa was deep into her own shit. There was no way that relationship was going to work at that time at all. Like, as much as they wanted to be with each other, as much as they love each other, it's like, girl, y'all have other things that y'all are not dealing with. Y'all are not considering. Y'all have yet to unravel. And for them to go live separate lives, you know, deal with their shit and then come back together amicably, that is the only thing to me that made sense in the end with them together.
And I think that's why when we thought it was over, she didn't give like a definitive no. She just kind of stared at him and he walked away. So like, it wasn't, I saw it as a definitive no because I wanted it to be a definitive no, but she technically did not say no.
Yeah.
She just said, not right the fuck now.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
But I think we can dwell, I mean, but now I guess, like, I mean, we can get on to the, you know, that happy ending, I guess, girl. But maybe, as much as I don't like this shit, as much as I don't like it, I think it was important to have a realistic depiction, like a millennial realistic depiction of a blended family, of, you know, a man, like a black man who has a child by somebody else, you know, while, you know, also being involved with another woman, and showing that through time and, you know, effort, through mental work, you know, physical work, and, you know, through work, like work, actual effort, yes, work, actual effort, mental effort, and, you know, some fucking growing up, it can work instead of this fucking petty ass back and forth. It can work. And, you know, just like kind of, and, you know, there had yet, like, I honestly can't think of a modern, you know, any other modern depictions of like black blended families that it's like around our age, you know, but I haven't seen that like before it Insecure. So that with like a positive outlook on things, that it's not just like the families of like the blended families over here, and then like the baby mothers on the other side like hating on the new girl, and it's always just like a unhealthy back and forth. Like, I'm, you know, it gave hope for the future, you know.
Yeah.
So and you know, as much as you know, as much as straight people give me a headache, we do have to coexist with them on this earth. So, yeah, I guess I'll give it to y'all. The wedding. I do want to talk about Molly.
Oh my God! Wait. Before we give it to Molly,
yeah, sure.
I like the fact that, like, the continuity part, like, you know, it all came full circle that The beginning of the series was the fact that Lawrence forgot her birthday is what sparked a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
To unfold. And then the last episode for him try to come home and he's making a cake with his son, remembering her birthday. Aww. Thank you, nigga. Aww. Like, a lot of this shit wouldn't have happened if you didn't forget my fucking birthday. But you know, great.
Yeah, like, and you actually remember, like, with like a cake and everything, not some fucking $5 flowers that you get from Giant.
That you got from the gas station, yeah.
But like,
with
that you see, like, as soon as you walk into Giant, you just snatch some shit off the front shelf.
Anyway, but yeah, so Molly and the wedding.
First off, the Handmaid's Tale ass dresses were beautiful, but also a choice.
It was given like, I liked them.
It was almost like it was a nice color.
They
given a sister away to this nigga very much to female slavery. I heard brownstone. This don't cry for me, baby. For those that don't know, that's not the song isn't about like someone passing away. It's actually about female friends, like, you know, mourning kind of like an era of a friendship with another female friend as they move on to like the marriage stage.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can interpret it how you want. It does work. It does clearly work as a funeral song because many people have used it as a funeral song, but it's okay. But yeah, the song is actually about like four black women, you know, crying or telling them not to cry because their friend is, you know, being married or, you know, moving on. Literally, there's always light shining bright within, and we must always understand our love is stronger than a man. And wider than all of his love. So that's the vibe I was getting from that. But I'm so happy for Molly and Torian. You know,
yeah,
beautiful, lovely. When the memorial, the memorial shrine for her mother. I think that was the one part in the show that actually like made me cry. So because like, that was really like, that really fucked me up. Cause like, you know,
I cried the whole thing.
Cause Molly tried, like, cause she was like, you know, understandably, like, she was the sibling that is like the most capable, and like having to come back, you know, like, you know, to her family to like kind of like, you know, make the arrangements and all that stuff, you know, but like, you know, before all this happened, you know, when her mother got sick. You know, she came back and kind of like, you know, like getting their affairs in order and all that stuff. And, you know, she being the sibling that being the only capable sibling of doing that, because like her brother's like, you know, doing some other shit. And like one of them couldn't even be in the fucking room when she went, you know, when they were just discussing it, like Jesus Christ. And then, you know, having her pass away and having to kind of, you know, share this such a joyful moment with the passing of her mother, like that shit really hurt, because you know, being the responsible sibling and, you know, having to do all that, it's a lot. I really felt for Molly in that moment, but I was glad that she was able to, you know, be happy. And I'm also glad that you know, she was able to get her parents' affairs in order before she passed, so like, you know, you know, so that, you know, that, you know, her father was, you know, prepared and, you know, ready and all that stuff. So that's life. That's the, you know, duality, like
I really liked the scene where Issa and Molly were, you know, alone in the room when she was like, you know, taking off her dress, and they had that moment where Molly told her how much she meant to her and like how much, you know, she, you know, appreciated her. She was like, you know, thank you for loving me when I was me. That was su- and like, you know, to find out later, that was just Yvonne telling Issa how she felt about her generally. I was like, oh.
That's literally what I say to Dre like every time we record, like thank you for loving.
I was like, oh my goodness.
I love it.
Atari, what'd you think about that scene? Because that was heavy. That was heavy.
I mean, I told you I cried for the whole wedding part.
Oh, like, the whole wedding.
I mean,
but specifically that part, child. Ooh.
Yeah, that part, like, just off the cuff. Cause like I know on Twitter everybody's like the true love story of Insecure with Molly and Issa. And it's true. That's the love story. Because Molly, Issa, some of those blowouts they had in some of the earlier seasons, like remember when Molly, Andrew, and she stopped trying to talk to Issa was being brand new, and they recovered from that.
Yeah, the fact, how, yeah, like, that they recovered from the world star moment. Ooh,
that was about to fuck child.
Ooh. She was like, get your hand. When she was like, they got to the get your hand about my face. I was like, oh no,
Ooh. Oh
no.
And then you know, just several points throughout the season, like you know, but Molly and Issa, like Issa, for Molly for her issue, she always showed up for Issa. Like there were several points throughout the series where you know. Molly took Issa in, like, I think it was like Issa and Daniel, that shit was weird, but Issa was crashing on Molly's, yeah, and stuff like that, because a lot of people be like, girl, no,
that's a nut,
this is too weak, this is too weak, you gotta go, but, and then also I like that Molly always supported Issa's dreams with the entrepreneurial stuff. At never one point she said, yo, you gotta, you know, do a traditional thing, girl, you gotta get a job. She never downplayed what Issa wanted to do, even when she was doing Lyft and stuff like that. And she would even go into it. And that shit is just so beautiful to me. Just to see, you know, like I'm not dark skinned and so I don't have that experience, but I do, you know, observe like in media, it's very rare to see Black female friendships, both in the reality series space and in the actual written script spaces where they can just be intimate with each other. And it's just love without them being older. Like you might see it more when they're older, but not in like the late 20s, 30s, and things like that. So it was just really refreshing, you know, to just see that all kind of come into fruition. Cause that was her fucking girl. Like,
yeah. I love the fact that there was never any sense of classism between anybody, like, especially like, cause like not, it wasn't just Molly, but like Molly, Tiffany and Kelly were doing better than Issa financially. And they never like they never held it over her head. Well, except for that one time when Kelly was like, what you gonna do? You ain't got no money.
Yeah.
But then she like right after that she apologized. She's like, I didn't mean to come at you like that.
But in that defense, Kelly was helping her look at her credit score in a couple episodes later.
So it wasn't Shane. It was like I've literally gone through your finances and girl,
you're
not right now. In the future, right. But not right now.
Yeah.
I need to come at you like that. Yo, real quick, the way Kelly was always carrying Issa's gay ass brother, yo.
Amon, like
their banter. Oh god.
Yo, when it finally got physical, when she smacked that cup out of his hands, yo, I was done.
I was like, oh no, this what?
This is too funny. You know, like it would never come to blows because like he knows Kelly would be dead ass. So
just another thing, I love the fact that Kelly You know, because like when it, you know, that's another thing. We didn't realize that Kelly really like she. It's not that she hated her job, but she wasn't really feeling it until she talked to Molly, and Molly was able to like have her. You know what did Molly do? She like gave her clients for her firm or something. I don't know what that was, but basically Kelly was able to leave her job and like.
They started a new I believe like a state division.
Yes,
there yeah. we go.
Like, and Kelly
like,
was heading
like
it,
black business shit, like creating a whole entire fucking division.
Yep.
Just so your friend can come work for y'all.
That's the and you know what? That's the fire shit that I love because like it mirrors like a lot of Insecure mirrors Issa Rae's life in yeah. general because like yeah. Issa. Because I remember that Issa said, you know, she believes in cross-networking.
Yeah, networking instead horizontally.
Of networking up, you know, trying to, it's like bringing all the niggas who are like right here who are trying to do the same thing you're doing. Y'all come together, putting your resources together and making something happen with the shit y'all got. Instead of like trying to like get into spaces that are, you know, more elitist and like, you know, not really trying to accept people, trying to squeeze your way into that space, creating yeah. your own space. And
hence this show. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You ain't got to fake friendships and all that stuff to make something
exactly.
pop. You know?
And it's crazy. All of the characters had that. Like Tiffany introduced Issa to Indolence, who got Issa into the event planning space. Mm-hmm. And yeah. you know,
yep. And like, there are so many actors on Insecure, but that was their first acting gig, and they're gonna be good. Like Insecure was such a pivotal monumental show, and the fact that they got on HBO as their first acting gig, nigga, that's amazing, you know. So like the whole them looking out for each other in the TV show and also Issa and them looking out for each other in life, real life, I'm like, that is such a dope ass concept. It's such a dope ass like arrangement, and I love seeing that. People who are not afraid, especially as black folks, like we know like how difficult it is to get into certain industries, like people who are looking out for each other right where we are. I love that. I love seeing that.
Love that for us. And just and the fact that at the very end it I just like the way it just ended. It ended with just like a simple conversation between Issa and Molly. They were both doing their own thing. Molly was in Greece, I believe.
Yeah.
Greece or
Greece. Somewhere. Honeymoon. Greece,
you know, like, yeah. She mentioned not seeing much, but she, you know, she was busy getting dug out.
Shout out to the reference to Broken Pussy.
yeah.
From the earlier season. I love that. I love that.
Maybe it's wet as hell.
Oh, God. I love that show. I love this show.
I love this show. And people are talking about spinoffs and all that stuff. And while I think like spinoffs of sitcoms hardly ever work, well, that's a lie. Because A Different World, right?
Yes.
A Different World was a spinoff of the Cosby Show. And also, what mm-hmm. was it? The Parkers was a spinoff of Moesha, right?
More recently. I can't think of that many spinoffs that have worked recently.
What's the Breaking Bad has a spinoff? It's like Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
But I think listen, if we just push things to the side and then we have Kelly and Amal like together, we can focus on Kelly's life and Amal's life at the exact same time. And while, you know, because while I love the fact that we had a tertiary black queer character who was like, you know, respectfully depicted, we still don't know a whole lot about him. So
yeah.
And also the actor said the actor said, oh yeah, I'm portraying, you know, gay men in a different way. I was like, girl, stop.
You just there.
You're literally just constantly talking shit to like your sister and her friends like constantly making shady comments. Like, so how are you different from any other Black queer man
representation? Like, let's yeah, like, come on, girl. Like yeah. I appreciated your character, but girl, let's keep it.
It ain't that deep. Yeah.
It ain't.
It ain't.
It was not a revolution.
But I would like to see a spinoff, and I think because it was so popular, I feel like they could definitely do that. But again, Natasha Rothwell, I think she was like, she wrote a whole show during quarantine last year, so she's probably working on that right now.
But, doesn't she have an overall deal with didn't she get an overall deal with is it ABC or Netflix?
One of these girls, like, she got a big like deal. So like. And Issa got a big deal. Like,
Issa's got shows, girl.
Yeah,
Issa got shows. Shows, coffee shops.
Issa is like, she's going to be she's going to play the very first depiction of Spider-Woman in film. Like, Issa's gonna be Spider. She's gonna be he'll just be the voice, but she's gonna be Spider-Woman. Like, in the new Miles Morales movie, like, she's playing Spider-Woman. Girl, we covered it on the show. Girl.
I just want to go to her coffee shop, y'all.
She got a coffee shop?
Yeah, she got a coffee shop, a natural hair care brand. Issa got money.
Issa, look.
A large?
Issa's not playing.
A large?
Issa's not playing with us. She's about to, you know, she's trying to enter further into the music business.
Radio.
She said recently.
Yeah.
Radio. She said recently is the most corrupt business she ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So I know rap shit is about to be good, depending on who she is.
And I'm really just like excited to have, you know, Issa Rae's like influence in our lives. Like, we have this specific show has a degree of a few degrees of separation away from Insecure. You know, shout out to Rob Milton, whose song was featured on an award winning episode of Insecure. So you know, girl, once I get my shit together, I would love to work for any of the girls on Insecure. I would be in that writing room. Like, girl, like, if you need a fat bisexual nerd perspective,
and then also
hit me up.
Hooray, like, her production company, because people keep forgetting Issa has web series she's produced. Because Giants is amazing. I hope that, like,
it's so good. They won Emmys, right? They won Emmys.
I'm pretty sure they did. That was amazing.
They won Emmys for it. I was like, deserves 100%. She's
Lorenzo,
really,
you gotta watch it.
You do. It's really good.
It has the girl from Gullah Gullah Island in it. The actress.
What is her name? But she won an Emmy
Vanessa
for her portrayal.
Something.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Definitely. Yeah. But thank you, Insecure, for all that you've done. And thank you, Atari, for stopping by. And you, Dre, for stopping by as well. taking time out of your busy schedule.
Stupid.
Atari.
Oh, God.
Atari, where can they find you if you would like to be found?
They can go to my website at atari-gems.com. I'm on Twitter at Atari Gems, like the whole thing, no commas, no underscore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she the first one, y'all.
Let them know.
And Dre. Where can they find y'all?
Yes, you know, allegedly
dragging,
I'm on Twitter.
Dragging dusting ass niggas.
I'm on Twitter at Exhibit Dre and on Instagram at Exhibit_Dre.
And you can find me acting a whole ass donkey on Twitter and Instagram at Lolo Von Z. That is LOLOVONZ. Thank you for tuning in for this very special episode of Big Boy Brunch. Check, please.
Mm-hmm.